I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The latest on Bryce Harper and a question for Nats fans. It'll be tough for you to answer at 11:18 here on GND. Thanks to Pete for the update. You are locked in to your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps, 106.7 in and around D.C. Michael Phillips covers the Redskins for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, why don't we start with two more potential defensive coordinators going elsewhere. Greg Williams to the Jets, Joe Woods to San Francisco, meaning Washington has now talked to four either D.C.'s or recent former head coaches about its defensive staff, none of whom have come here. What should we take out of that?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm fine with working under the table, seeing what guys are available, whatnot, but we're at a point where if you let Greg Minuski go, he's now too late to get a job in this hiring cycle. I think that's not fair to him, and that's not fair to the guys he works with, because obviously you could have total staff turnover as well, potentially. I don't think it's a great look for the team. I'm fine with interviewing other candidates. I'm fine with kicking the tires. I just think that needed to maybe be done in a more expeditious manner.
Why did they wait so long in general, Michael?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying really hard to reserve judgment until this process is played out, because there's a chance they still get a great hire and a great staff and load it up for next year. But, you know, with every passing day, it's tougher to hold off on that. You know, at what point do we say, okay, the time's up, we can go ahead and judge these moves now, and they're not very good? You know, I'm inclined to say the Senior Bowl's next week. A lot of teams like to have their staffs fully in place at the Senior Bowl so they can go do their scouting, get ready for the draft, you know, make sure they have their coaches seeing what guys they like and they need for next year. You know, so if we're still in this spot early next week when everybody's down in Mobile, I think you can say, you know, that this was a pretty wild offseason and not a very good one for the Redskins.
Yeah, but how do they end up, let's go deeper into selling this, right? After the fact, we all know, even though it's not their fault that we do, that they talked to all these guys, that they wanted to upgrade and do different and better. How are they going to sell that, yeah, we really did want to keep Minuski and this staff together, when we know that's not the case?
I'm just not wild. You know, I don't think that's a huge issue, because you think about, like, you know, everybody on that team, like the guys on that team are on that team because they couldn't find better players. Like that's how the NFL works every year at every position. Like, you guys are on the radio because CK hasn't found better people to host this time slot. Like,
that's why
I have my job writing for the Richmond Times Dispatch is because, you know, a Pulitzer winner hasn't walked in the door and offered to take it yet. So I think that's, you know, this particular instance where they're doing so publicly, I think the optics on this are really bad, but I do think this is just what happens in the NFL.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch with us here on Grant and Danny. Miguel, here's my other concern about this. Minuski's fine to me. Can they do better? Probably not, but in theory, you could have a better defensive coordinator. What I don't get is why nobody is talking about improving any part of the offense. This group was awful all year long, and the defense bailed them out for 9 weeks before it all went down the potty. But this, goodness gracious, this group was bad. Even with Alex Smith, they couldn't score. They couldn't move the football. I want massive changes on that side of the ball. Why is no one talking about that, and where are those changes?
Well, I think a lot of people wanted massive changes across the whole building.
Sure.
And so you look at the domino effect. I think that's where it's most pronounced, because Jay oversees the offense, and Jay stayed, and Bruce oversees Jay, and Bruce stayed. You know, this domino effect here where, you know, the guy at the top stayed, and you know, your trickle-down effect here at the bottom is there's still a bad, you know, offensive system in place, because you're absolutely right. It wasn't good enough, you know, and even discounting, you know, all the injuries, all the whatnot, it, you know, in the time where we saw this group at 100%, it wasn't good enough for the resources they've poured into it, for the people they had, and the salaries they had, and the personnel they had. You know, I don't see – we're talking about the defense. I think the defense could be fine next year. You know, I think you put a couple pieces in place. obviously they're short a couple of guys, but the D line's great. You know, you've got the building blocks or something. You can be okay on defense next year. I don't see how you can be good on offense next year. You're just missing way too many pieces. Playmaking receiver, quarterback, all the way on down. The offensive line has the tendency to get hurt. And you have to factor that in coming into the season. That's the real test sell for me. It sounds like it is for you too, Daniel. How do you sell that this offense is going to get better next year? I don't see it.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'm going to say something and you tell me why I'm wrong. The Redskins have to do something to generate buzz and excitement this offseason, and they have to make some type of a splash move to invigorate some portion of this fan base that is currently apathetic. They should draft Kyler Murray at number 15 because it'll be that business move. Why am I crazy?
Wow, you really gave me the best side of the argument here. I think the best option for this franchise is honesty. And I think the honesty starts with, we're in a hole here. We're in a bad situation. We're going to punt this year. We're asking for your patience. It's a great quarterback draft class next year. We can get more complimentary pieces. We've been chasing need for far too long. They've cost us Derwin James this year. Well, we're going to quit chasing need and ticket sales and making those things the most important thing. And we're not going to draft Kyler Murray. We're not going to make a splash play. We're going to be, prudent and make sound financial decisions and come back. Maybe we'll find our quarterback in the third round. Maybe we'll reload from 2019. But we're not going to make quick fix decisions just in the interest of selling tickets.
Michael, do you think Bruce will ever speak to the public? Do you think that'll happen? I'm not talking about an interview with, one friend in Tennessee or that weird serious show that he goes on or, calls a San Diego station. I'm talking about the standard normal behavior of a highly compensated executive in charge of all things about a football operation standing before the assembled masses and explaining what the bleepity bleepity bleep 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 extended bleep is going on.
I don't think he will do that, no. I don't think it went well last time, but I think his main takeaway was don't do that again.
Do you really think the reason he doesn't talk is because of how embarrassing that 2014 press conference was?
I definitely think it's a factor, yeah. It went really poorly. We're still yes. talking about how poorly that went.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we were.
I think it's a factor. I could definitely foresee a Redskin Nation appearance for him in the next couple months. That's definitely on my radar, so set your DVRs on that. I would assume he will do his usual thing at the league meetings where he meets with us, but I don't see any sort of big group thing happening in Ashburn. No, I think that's out the window.
Michael Phillips covers the Skins for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated, as always.
See you back, guys.
See you, pal.
Bryce Harper does not yet have a home. That could change soon. It's January 16th. A month from now, pitchers and catchers will have reported all around the country. What would be more problematic for you? What would be a bigger concern for you as a Nats fan? Overspending to win a bidding war to keep Bryce, or him ending up a Philly? What would be a bigger issue? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. You don't know what I just did during the break. That was a pain in the butt.
Was it insurance related?
Close. I tried to set up an appointment to do taxes.
Ugh. Yuck. Good for you, though, by the way, mid-January, trying to get that done.
Well, here's why I'm doing it now. I just got a text from one of my parents who still, helped me run my life because I'm not a real adult. They said, don't forget, someone needs to help you do your taxes because, again, you can't accomplish or do anything.
You are not capable.
So get on the schedule with your tax person. And I said, that's a good point. If I don't do that now, I'll probably think about it on April 9th and it'll be too late.
I don't know if all the W-2s have arrived. Right? So I should be making an appointment pretty soon. I do like to have it handled out of the way.
They have not arrived yet. You'll laugh at this. I use someone in King George County.
Of course you do.
She does the taxes for literally everybody. Allison really wanted me to tell you this. The last time we were in King George, I pointed this out. She is incredible. She does such a great job.
Yeah.
But it's at her house / her office.
Uh-huh.
Her
home
office. And at the end of her driveway is a calculator flag. It's like a flag with a calculator. And I told her, I said, oh, there's my tax lady, good friend of mine. And she goes, the one with the calculator flag? I said, yeah. She said, have you ever told Danny that? I said, no.
Thank you, Allison.
I said, she does the taxes for pretty much everyone in King George County.
What a gift. Thank you so much.
Isn't that great?
You could pay her in cash or goat or any kind of barnyard animal. If you have a nice fresh egg, she'll do them for that.
So I just sent off that email. It's that time of year, my friend. Bryce Harper debating, speaking of money.
Yeah, money.
Nats, Phillies, White Sox, who's it going to be? Seems like it's just the Nats and the Phillies for the most part. Most reporters are saying Washington's still very much in the mix. Bob Nightingale is going hard in the paint.
He is not backing down.
He's basically saying this is the Phillies. They're the front runner unless something changes. He's throwing his elbow. He's getting rebounds. He's drawing blood. No one's ever played more physical around the rim right now in the painted area than Bob Nightingale. And Nats fans are all really upset about it.
They're all rankled.
Because, I mean, he's basically saying, yeah, this is not Washington. He's perpetuating, and his reporting is basically the idea that what Mark Lerner told us is true.
Uh-huh.
They made that offer. They don't want to go over it, that they weren't going to negotiate, that the Phillies can do a lot better. And if Bryce wants the money, he'll go to Philadelphia. And if he wants to stay in Washington, he can do that. But this is the question we came up with this morning, and I got to tell you, I love it. Because where is he going to sign? Been done. We don't know the answer. The Phillies versus the Nationals, who's better the next few years? I mean, you could go a bunch of ways with this. But I think this is the most interesting way to ask Nats fans about this right now. And I haven't heard anybody do this. What would be a bigger problem, in your opinion? Or what would you like less? Bryce Harper staying in Washington because the Nats won a bidding war and overspent for him. Let's just say it's $350 million and it's 10 years at $35 apiece. That's what it takes to get it done. It's $50 million more than Mark Lerner told us, and the quote on our show was that it would be bad business to go above $300.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went $50 million above it and got him. Or he ends up in Philly, haunting this team and potentially tormenting them for years to come. You've got to see him play for a team you hate, a rival in the East. We don't have a rival here. You got a rival in Philly. They get better. They're winning divisions. He's hitting bombs at Nats Park. He's playing them almost 20 times a year. Maybe you play them in the playoffs. What would be worse, Harper a Philly or Harper getting a contract that is prohibitive to the Nationals getting where they need to go?
This is why I would be the worst GM. This right here. Because at my core, I hate the Phillies, I hate the Mets, I hate the Braves. I hate the Marlins too, by the way. I couldn't live with it. I couldn't live with Art Monk going to play for the Jets. I couldn't live with LeVar Arrington going to play for the Giants. I couldn't live with Brian Mitchell going to play for the Eagles, even though it wasn't his fault. It was Dan Snyder's. They wanted Deion Sanders instead. I couldn't handle Bryce Harper playing for Philly. I have a reasonable approach here where I go, I can't go past a certain thing. The best thing for my team is to be judicious with spending, and I don't want to be in too many 10-year contracts. We made an offer. It's the most we can do, et cetera. So if he goes to, you know, probably 25 teams, I wouldn't give a damn. I would say we did the right thing here. White Sox, even the Dodgers, who I know would beat me in a playoff series. I could live with that. Seeing him 19 times a year for 10 years ruin things for me, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle it. That, to me, and it's not close. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm not even saying it's correct. It's not good franchise building. It's not the right way to go about it. I am a fan of sports, ultimately, at the end of the day. I have pledged my allegiance to what he brings to the table on a nightly basis, and it was a joy to watch him in a Nationals uniform for all those years. Thank you for the memories. It will break my heart if he's doing it for the Phillies. It will break my heart. I can't allow that to happen.
Baseball, if I'm ranking all the sports, with the import of one person, might be smallest on the scale.
100%.
Football's close, although I would say that football, depending on the position, can grade out higher. Quarterback, as an example. If you've got one of the rare elite Breeze, Brady, Rodgers types, Manning used to be in that conversation.
I do think it's baseball, because let's say you're great. You still only get to bat four times in a game.
You're batting four times in a game.
You don't get power play time. You don't get extra shifts.
Exactly.
They don't run plays for you.
As a Nats fan, what would be worse as a Bryce Harper outcome? Harper with the Phillies or overspending big to keep him? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I think what makes this such an amazing question is the pain and the agony of seeing him in a Phillies uniform in my mind. It's heartbreaking and crippling as a Nationals fan to think of that. He didn't just leave, but he went to the Phillies. And by the way, they're about to be good. The Braves, the Phillies, the Nats, this is a triumvirate for the next bunch of years. The Mets are going to crowbar their way into this if their new general manager and former agent of Ryan Zimmerman, among others, Brody Van Wagenen, has anything to do about it and anything to say about where the Mets are going to be. But those three teams, without question, because of the systems they've built and the process in Philly, the process, the money they've got to spend, they're going to be there. So this is a team that could overtake the Nats and win a division with Harper hitting a big September home run in a critical game. That would be demoralizing in a way as a DC sports fan. You know, we haven't really experienced. That would have been bigger than Cousins beating the Redskins in a Week 17 game where one of the two is getting into the playoffs this past fall.
Yeah, I honestly could deal with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
This will haunt Nationals fans. I mean, I think about my 5-year-old kid knows who Bryce Harper is.
Right.
And now he's got to watch him torment the Nationals as he becomes cognizant and kind of aware of sports and fandom and things. No way.
Now, this is an answer, and I think that this happens a lot on the show, where you are going to be with the people. But I think my answer is going to be more correct if I control a little bit.
Of course it's correct. Yours is.
Harper getting too much money. And the Nationals overspending to win a bidding war and to keep him in a way that prohibits retaining Anthony Rendon and or Trey Turner, in a way that keeps you from adding the starting pitching you need to a year or two from now when Max Scherzer slows down and Steven Strasburg's body, which breaks down on him in his prime, only gets worse as he gets older. When you need to go out and add help for Patrick Corbin in the front of your rotation and to your bullpen, and you can't do it because you got a payroll to work from, and you don't like paying that luxury threshold, and you're paying so much to Bryce Harper that you didn't have to because you were set up to let him walk. It's not that I don't want him back. I want him back at the right price. The right price is way less than the Phillies or the White Sox are offering him. He'd have had to take in a big discount to stay here, and if he wanted to do that, everyone can be happy. Let's all buy our 34 jerseys. My answer is overspending on Harper would be more problematic than him being a Philly and coming back here. Danny goes the opposite way, but the calls next will be very telling. There are a couple of lines open at 800-636-1067. Let's have a little fun talking Bryce Harper on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Best players in baseball and $30 million is what it costs, and it won't look as bad years from now and all these things. Overspending as an option would mean they're built right now to move on without him. Doing something in terms of how much they're paying him that is prohibitive of roster building after this. If I thought the Nats were just going to become the Yankees of the 90s and early 2000s where they just had the payroll and nothing mattered and they didn't play by the same rules as everybody else because the learners are so rich and they own Tyson's Corner, then I'd be cool with spending on Bryce Harper because you're still going to spend on Rendon and you're still going to spend on Turner and you're still going to lock up Soto when you need to, and Robles after that, and go get starting pitching. It doesn't work that way. There is no salary cap. We all understand that. But there is a payroll to work from that the learners want to stay close to, especially Mark, by the way. Right. He talked to us on our show about how painful it was. That was the word he used to stroke the check for going over the luxury tax. So when I say overspending or winning a bidding war, my point is you want to keep Harper. You don't need to keep Harper. You have a really good situation without him. You've got a better situation with him, clearly, in your outfield. But you're going to be well above major league average in the outfield without Bryce Harper, and you'll be able to spend that cash on pitching, on Rendon, on Turner in the coming years. What's worse, going $50 or so million more than they wanted to, which is what it might take, or him ending up in Philly hitting homers against this team as a visitor 800-636-1067. Nate is in the city. What's up, Nate?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, what's going on? Love you guys.
Appreciate you, man.
I would say this. I agree with you, Danny. He's just one player, and baseball is the only sport where one player is not going to affect the entire team. I would let him walk because he wanted to go a long time ago, and we should have traded him when we had the chance.
Appreciate you, buddy. Look, the trade, in hindsight, having now become wisdom, probably should have happened because you'd have added a bunch of pieces to the system. I understand why they didn't. At the deadline, they thought they could still get back into the race, and I did too, so I can't completely fault them. But you're with me in that you're going to vote in that poll at Grant H. Paulson is saying, Danny, bigger problem would be spending too much, not him being a Philly.
Yeah, and I get that. I that's the cerebral approach. But at the end of the day, I'm just a fan. And fan, things matter to me. Rivalries matter. You've been able to detach yourself from three of the four major sports in town, whereas you're still kind of like the hardcore Capitals fan and you feel the rivalries and you hate the Rangers and the Penguins and everybody else.
I feel these rivalries too, but I would still, as a diehard Caps fan, if you told me I can overspend on Ovechkin, like when his contract's up, or he can go to the Penguins, I'm not overspending. I got to worry about my process, my building of my team. I'm trying to get more championships. I'm trying to win. So if that means it's going to suck four times a season when he's scoring goals against me or when I'm watching highlights and I see him in black and gold, that's awful. That ruins my life in some way.
Well, then it's 4-for-4. You're able to detach your fandom. I mean, just part of being a fan to me is hating your rival. That's ingrained to me. And if you don't hate the Phillies, it means you don't remember pre-2012. You don't remember them invading that ballpark with their stupid flat brim caps and Doc Holliday shoving it on the Nationals and, you know, those teams. So much like opposite field base hits from Carlos Ruiz and everybody else. It was miserable to be a Nationals fan because Philly took over. The Mets took over. I'm totally fine. We talked about this a million times. I'm completely fine with the process where you go, hey, we can't overspend. There's that phrase again, or that word again, term, on Bryce Harper. I'm willing to let him go away. And if it was Milwaukee, if it was Texas, if it was Colorado, even the Dodgers, which would come back to hurt us, you know, in October, I could deal with that. Him going to my rival. Again, I keep pointing to these other Redskins are the best example. When Brian Mitchell played for the Eagles, oh my God, that was so hard for me to watch. I loved him.
It stunk.
And he played for my rival and shoved it on me. When LeVar Arrington is playing for the Giants, it was the worst. I don't want it to be the worst. I want to enjoy
my sport.
But do
you even remember, like, LeVar's game against the Redskins?
We didn't particularly play very well because he hurt himself.
But I don't even mean that. But my point is it happened and it was over. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. It stinks. But you're talking about several years, potentially.
Yeah, 19 games a year.
The ramifications of this guy taking up payroll and either being hurt or just not being able to go do what you got to do. Jane in Falls Church, how are you?
I'm okay. I will say that for months now I've been saying we're fine without Bryce. We'd be better with him. And if he went to the Dodgers or any place else, it would be fine. Now that we're focusing on the Phillies, the only worst place he could go would be Atlanta. And
over the Mets, even.
I know
really?
I know you're right. We need Rendon and Turner and a whole bunch of other stuff. And but it would kill me to see him play for Philadelphia, I want him to buy him.
Yeah, I hear you. That's the perfect phone call. Thank you so much, Jane. Because that kind of takes you through the entire process there. The entire time she has said, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right, of course it doesn't.
They're better off letting him leave. But now that it looks like it's Washington or Philadelphia, she's going, you know what? They can't have him.
I couldn't handle it.
It's the equivalent of you're in a relationship with somebody, you know, and this girl that you're with, you're going, I'll probably be a little bit better off, honestly, if we get out of this relationship. But you know that her next call is to a guy you just don't want her to be with.
Every dude in the history of dudes has had that relationship where you stay in it because you can't deal with the idea of another guy
being with
her. It's
probably your buddy or someone. It might not be like your best friend, but it's a guy you know or a guy that was around who's quote-unquote a friend of yours and hers. And you know as soon as you guys aren't together, she's calling him to tell the sob story and to go out to dinner. You can't have that. So you'll just stay with her. Billy in Kingstown, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, as I told you last week at the Turtle, Grant, I want him to stay. But you're killing me because you're making so much sense. Yeah, we need to save the money for all these other people, which is so true. But as much as I like Rendon, there's other third basemen out there that can put up close to his numbers. And there again, like the other callers were saying, anywhere but Philly. Even if he went to the Yankees, as much as I don't like him, he's in the American League, yeah. You don't have to see him.
Yep.
But like Danny keeps saying, you know, we're going to keep seeing him. It's not like even like the Dodgers, he had only come here one time. How many times? He's going to come here like 9 times,
exactly.
And then we have to go there 9 times.
3 series a year.
Times 10 years.
Yeah, you're playing him almost 200 times over the next 10 seasons, possibly.
Oh, make me sick.
By the way, he would hit 30 home runs against the Nationals in the next several seasons. I mean, it would be maddening. By the way, my guy Billy that just called in makes a mean Old Bay grilled, dry-rubbed chicken wing. He works over at the Green Turtle, Springfield.
Then we've eaten there.
We have. I took you there. It's one of my spots.
He does do that. They're delicious.
You like those, didn't
you? Yes, I did like them.
Shout out to my good folks, my good friends over at the Green Turtle Springfield location.
Baby.
Where Billy and company take good care of me. Off the menu, grilled chicken wings that are EMP 180 friendly.
The wait staff there now know you.
They do.
It's not quite Mr. Maui Pineapple Chicken level, but you do this move where you go, I have a special request for you. And they kind of already know where it's going to go.
Like, oh, are
and
you getting those grilled wings again? Absolutely.
You go, talk to Billy in the back. He knows what to do.
Very, very nice people. Big fan of theirs. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. 800-636-1067 to answer, what should we call this? The Harper conundrum?
Yeah.
Phillies or overspend? Which one is worse? We will wrap this up. We'll hit a quick double play next. And then second half of the show at noon kicks off with your blitz, and we'll get into conference championship Sunday right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Before our double play, which normally comes your way right now, just after 11:45, we are going to wrap up our calls on Bryce Harper. The poll question we're asking you on Twitter, you can hit it up at Grant H. Paulson. Worse possibility, worse outcome. Harper ends up a Philly, or the Nats end up winning a bidding war, overspending, and doing some long-term damage by giving him, say, $350 million over a decade plus to keep him around. You got to pick between one of the two. Difficult proposition, tough quandary here. Tyler says bringing Harper back gives them the most legitimate chance at a World Series they've had in franchise history. Probably true. Harper also solidified himself as the face of the D.C. sports scene. In a lot of eyes, if he comes back long-term, it is a must, in my opinion. Where I'll disagree is, it's not a must because maybe you do have your best chance to win a World Series this coming year with him back.
Mm-hmm.
You have a worse chance to win a World Series in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years because of the lack of money you will have to spend at other positions and to keep guys like Anthony Rendon, glue guy, core guy, potentially a Trey Turner. I don't think you can keep all three of those guys as an example. Greg says, did the Nationals overspend for Jason Worth? Phillies fans hated seeing him come to town. Perhaps it's our turn. Sadly. Now, that's an interesting...
It's a decent comp, not in the exact same spot, because that was the Nationals paying the we stink tax. They don't stink. The Nationals don't stink. If Bryce Harper never plays it for them again, they're going to be pretty good.
And Worth was a heroic figure. They'd won a World Series. However, he wasn't Bryce Harper.
No.
He wasn't the number one most talked about player in baseball. He wasn't getting an amount of money that no athlete has ever gotten. Yeah,
you're talking
in the
about more than twice the money.
Exactly. And he wasn't one of the best players in the game like Harper is. John's in Arlington on The Fan. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Great.
So first, you know, I love Bryce. I want him to stay. He's the whole reason I watch Nats baseball since I moved here. But I also do see them still being a good team without him. So I almost wonder how they can kind of take this and use it if he signs with the Phillies. To put a spin on Danny's point, what if he became the ultimate villain for this team? They drew inspiration from it, and that's what put him over the hump. By having that chip on their shoulder that really just raises their game to the next level, like, we can do this without you.
You could always point to, like, those kinds of motivational things as the reason. I don't know. I mean, is it going to make Max Scherzer throw a pitch on the black in the seventh inning of a round one playoff game? I have no idea. You know, it's because Bryce spurned us. Maybe it's the galvanizing force, but also maybe you're better with a guy that's can hit 300 with 39 bombs and a 460 on base percentage. You know what I mean? I see the point. I don't want to dismiss it entirely, but it's always so hard to quantify those things, right? I mean, was the recipe for the Red Sox because, I don't know, somebody spurned them at some point or people thought that David Price stunk and that's why he was motivated to go pitch well? Wasn't he motivated to go pitch well because it was a chance to win a World Series? I don't know. It's always so hard to quantify those things, I guess. But for me, this is about like the hardcore. It's an emotional versus cerebral debate.
Yeah.
A cerebral person, which is what you are, In my head, I know, of course you're correct. I can't worry about what other teams are doing. I got to build the best team I can. That's all true for me until my fandom's affected, right? Like watching my favorite player go play for a team that I despise is not something I enjoy. I hate that. I would do almost anything to prevent it, which is why, again, I would be a terrible general manager. Terrible. I would be the worst general manager in all of the sports.
Baseball just doesn't, for me, lend itself to giving one guy all the money. I didn't like the initial Pujols contract, the trend beginning, and not one of them has worked out. Now, the difference being, and I think Barry Sferluga did a good job writing about
this
recently. Harper's younger. This is a different situation. When you go 10 with him at 26, Machado, 24, Harper, it's easier than going 10 at 30 or 31 with the other guys, Cano and Pujols. But I'd rather pay three or four guys and bring in a starting pitcher and a high-profile player at another position in the next couple of years with that money. I just would.
Yeah, where's your money best spent? You and I talked about this. $30 million for one guy, and you get, for the sake of argument, 7 WAR a year. $30 million for three guys, and you get a combined 10 WAR a year. What's better?
The math
it's the second
works.
One, right?
Yeah. Of course. Also, and this is more rhetorical. This is, I'm not trying to stir the pot because I don't really believe this at all, but this is just throwing something out there as food for thought, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the clubhouse gets any better if he leaves. I don't think he's a bad clubhouse guy at all. I don't think he is a unpopular player in the clubhouse. But I think there's been a climate over the last several years where the clubhouse has not been great. And I think the more changing of the guard with some of the key influential pieces, maybe the better. I don't know. They have not had the right combination.
Yeah, it hasn't been right.
I'm not trying to blame him for that. I think it's unfair to do so. But I wonder, you are on the cover of SI when you're 16. You're raised in a laboratory, in a beaker. You're a potion at one point created to play baseball.
Yeah.
I've seen it with Robert Griffin. I wonder if there's any animosity. Not that you bring it on. Not that you try to be different than anyone else.
But it's inevitable, right?
But I just wonder if that's a thing. And I don't know. And again, it's not fair to say, but I think it's at least reasonable to bring up when the clubhouse climate hasn't been great and he's been benched at different times and grabbed around the throat at others. I don't know. Cheese is in Silver Spring. What's up, dude?
Hey, Cheese.
Two quick things. Columbus Blue Jackets Twitter is the worst Twitter ever.
It's a bad Twitter.
Good call.
It's a bad Twitter.
Danny, I have never eaten a Big Mac in my entire life.
You're such a millennial.
I'm proud of you, Cheese.
It's ridiculous.
So, I don't like fast food ground beef. Okay, next question. For me, the two of you know, and as does the airwaves, my girlfriend is from Philadelphia. Her great aunt mocks me, her mom mocks me, her brother mocks me. I can't imagine Nats without Turner, Rendon, Doolittle, Mark Reynolds, Soto, Robles. Like, so for me, okay, like Watson, Bryce, hit in the water and, eat cheesesteaks, like that's okay. But a Nats team without that core group of guys that we have now, that's even worse.
Yeah, part of being a fan is that you love these guys. Mm-hmm. This is your group. I get that. By the way, for those of you that are not tracking, he was talking about with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So the Blue Jackets beat the Caps in overtime, and they did this celebration where they all mocked Evgeny Kuznetsov's bird because Artemi Panarin had sniped a goal past the Capitals netminder, and they win, and they get a big key point. Well, last night, they actually won when the Caps lost. Caps have lost three in a row, and they're not playing well, and they took over first place. They're tied with 59 points.
Mm-hmm.
But because of having one more regulation win, they're in first place in the Metro. So they tweeted out a GIF of all their players celebrating with the Kuznetsov troll job that all the Caps fans hated. And they said, soaring to the top of the Metro-like. you know, they're very excited that they're getting that January 15th first place banner, I guess. So they're celebrating that in Columbus. But you're right. That was not what I wanted to see last evening after the Capitals had lost 7-2.
Well, at least they play an exciting, fun brand of hockey of only defense. thanks a lot, Johnny Torts.
Beltway Blitz next at noon. And we'll get into conference championship Sunday. There are two games. Which is going to be better? You get to watch one. What are you prioritizing? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Danny Rouillet for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Go. You gotta go. Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. Ford makes the cars. Ted Britt makes the difference. Here's what I want you to experience. What I have. Not one, but two times. That is correct. Two different Ted Britt Fords in the Hooray family. That's right. We went a few years ago to get the wife an SUV. Nice little midsize Goldilocks style. Got the Edge. We love it. The wife loves it, commutes to work in it every day, hauls the kids around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When it was my turn, we had such a good experience at Ted Britt Ford. You know what was that? You know what we actually said to each other? You know what was that? Let's go back to Ted Britt Ford. It was great. Got myself a Fusion. It's parked downstairs right now, charging up. I don't pay for gas, people. I save money, and I like that. Speaking of saving money, new year, new deals at Ted Britt Ford. How about a 2018 F-150? Save over $11,000 off the MSRP or 0% APR for 60 months, plus $1,800 in bonus cash. Drive smart in EcoSport. 2019 EcoSport, $199 a month on lease. So many more deals, so little time. Go see my guys at Tepper Ford and come with me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.